Gospel reading for today is from John's Gospel. You can follow along in your pew Bibles if you would like. You look for it on page 877. This is Jesus talking. Jesus said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and, in fact, will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it." In our hearing, our speaking, our living. Don't let your hearts be troubled. That seems like such simple advice, doesn't it? And throughout these chapters in John, arguably either from verse 13 to chapter 13 through chapter 17, but I think it's chapter 14 through chapter 17, but whatever. This is a unit of scripture that contains just wonderful, wonderful short quotes from Jesus. And really is the core of Jesus' teaching in John's gospel, the core of his teaching that goes along with the Sermon on the Mount and the parables. Jesus is giving his farewell address, giving his final pep talk, if you will. And for John says clearly, often, over and over again, that Jesus was with God in the beginning and is one with God in his death, and would soon come back to take the disciples and the believers to God's mansion. Jesus gave his disciples power and access to God's power. This is great theology. Now, this entire section and the opening portion from the 14th chapter has the feel of an extended speech, a long goodbye, interrupted from time to time by questions from the rather clueless disciples. And don't be led astray by the questions the disciples are asking. Sometimes they're really on point, and sometimes they're really not on point. And Jesus is using a word or two to move the discussion along to something that he wants to say. And if this form feels familiar, it's because it really is it leads us to think about, it harkens back to the long goodbye that Moses had for the people of Israel in the last third of the book of Deuteronomy. Just quote after quote after quote, pieces of speeches all drawn together. Moses had a long goodbye, and this is one of the many places in the Gospels that compare Jesus with Moses to lift Jesus up, to establish who Jesus was. Joshua had a long goodbye as he bid farewell to the people of Israel. Samuel did as well when he warned the people about you shouldn't desire a king, but people wanted a king anyway, and they chose Saul. Wrong choice, but then they got David, so it worked out, I guess. King David had final words himself. These speeches were words of encouragement, words of triumph, basically concluding, if you follow the plan, all will be well. There were words of encouragement and words of triumph. But here in John, the tone feels different. It's intimate. It's somber. Jesus does not sound triumphant. Now, of course, this is his last statements with his disciples. He's about to be put to death. And there's just that strange dichotomy between the sense of triumph that the readers of the Gospel of John 50, 60, 70 years later would feel, oh, Jesus is going to get him now, and being the disciples hearing these words for the first time and feeling helpless. It's a strange dichotomy. It's sort of like when we're feeling sad and someone comes to us and says, oh, hey, just cheer up. Is that mansplaining, by the way? Mansplaining, am I saying that correct? Just cheer up. Telling somebody how to feel reminds me of a scene from The West Wing. Who are my West Wing fans? Oh, thank you. When Zoe Bartlett graduated from college, and Abby Bartlett is in one area of the big living room of the White House, and she's with other women, and they're just laughing and carrying on and drinking wine and having a good time and remembering. And President Bartlett's in another corner of, and he's with men, and they're looking through pictures. And Abby Bartlett says, hey, isn't this fun? Are you boys having fun? And Jeb Bartlett says, channeling Eeyore, Oh, we're having fun too. Telling us how to feel. Can be a difficult thing to do sometimes. Don't let your hearts be troubled. I have to admit to you that every day this week my heart felt troubled. It felt troubled as I read the news. Maybe your heart should have felt troubled too when you read the news. I don't know. But reading the news day after day and thinking, what's next? What's next? I found troubling. I felt troubled thinking about what Anne and what Kathy Wheeler is going through. When I think of Fran and Frank, I feel troubled. When I think of our world, sometimes it's hard not to feel troubled. So I guess I'm tempted to say, or I guess I will say because I'm saying, sorry, Jesus. Your disciples had a hard time understanding, and sometimes I do too. Because I want to know why. Why? Why do these things happen? But I think Jesus would probably say, if he took the time to talk to me, that's the wrong question. It's not why, it's who. And then comes the next phrase from John's gospel, the phrase that I think really applies for us. Jesus says, believe in God and believe in me. Again, pretty simple advice. Simple and yet profound. The disciples really didn't know what to expect when they were hanging with Jesus. When they were listening to him talk, they could hear him say that he was going to be the great Messiah, that he is from God, that he is God's son. This is going to be wonderful. And what they were hearing was, Jesus is the great leader. Jesus is the great man. Jesus will be that strong person who will come back and defeat the enemies of Israel. And even the end of chapter 16, Jesus has this wonderful quote. I didn't remember this from before. He says, take courage. I have conquered the world. But he says it with such a sad tone. That phrase, I've conquered the world, reminds me of the movie Titanic and Jack Dawson standing on the prow of the Titanic, and the wind's blowing through him, and I'm the king of the world, and seeing James Cameron at the Academy Awards saying the same thing, I'm the king of the world. That's what we want with a hero, isn't it? Not the king, but the king who will make things right. I'm fascinated with our culture's fascination, I guess, with updating the Marvel comic books. Those superheroes. I didn't read Marvel comics growing up. I don't remember what I read, but I didn't read those. So it's really alien to me or foreign. But these comic book characters coming to life, these people who have great powers, that sometimes they're sad, I guess, but sometimes they're just great powers. And they go about and they save things and they make things right, and maybe they struggle with making things right, but finally make things right. Wolverine's last movie. What was that one? I don't remember. The movie with Benedict Cumberbatch in it, whatever character that was, the surgeon who loses his ability. Doctor Strange. Very strange, Benedict Cumberbatch, but I'm not, he's not for me. Scarlett Johansson has played, I think, a dozen characters who are alluring and seem to kill men just on a really kind of regular basis. Well, happy Mother's Day, boys. These big characters, these fights, well, Star Wars takes advantage of it too, and Star Trek, these fights that go on at galaxy level, on a level that's beyond us. We like these movies. And these characters are larger than life. And I think we want larger than life. The disciples wanted larger than life. And Jesus is larger than life. Jesus is God. But the disciples wanted a superhuman. They wanted Superman. And what they got was this God person. Not Hercules, but someone ever so much more humble, someone ever so much more human, and yet someone who both transcended and gave believers the ability to transcend what we're going through. You know, as I said last week, the early church went through horrific experiences. And the power of Jesus, the belief in Jesus, helped them, helps us transcend. Last week I said something about being worried that perhaps people would come to church for solace in the wake of Fran's death or wake of anyone's death and say, hey, you're not making me feel good here. I want to come here and feel good. I want to leave aside the cares of the world. And I said then that what we have to offer is not an escape, but what we have to offer is a way to help us deal with our lives, the challenges we face, help our community deal with the challenges, and we offer a community who will help. I have to tell you that in the last week I've had just the remarkable privilege of talking with Anne and with Kathy. It was remarkable because they are both experiencing or have experienced just a horrific death of their partner. They're going through death and loss. And yet what they expressed, what they talked about, was the power of God in their lives. They talked about their love for the church. They talked about the wonderful way that people have cared for them and cared for Fran and are caring for Frank. Thought about the Pope canonizing the two kids who saw the Virgin of Fatima. Fatima? Yeah. Two kids who had a vision of the Virgin Mary from 100 years ago. Anne and Kathy had a glow in their faces that was real. They weren't giving me Hallmark card greetings. They were speaking truth. I had the sense of the power of their love for their partners. I had a sense of Kathy speaking of her love for Frank that transcends the horror of ALS. And she was talking to us. They're talking to us as a church, as a community, that even though they are living the sadness, they know that God is helping them transcend and move beyond. Being with them, I was taught about God. So the phrase, "Don't let your hearts be troubled," can sound like a platitude. But here, in the mouth of Jesus, I hope you hear words of power and of comfort. Jesus says, "Believe in God and believe in me." Amen.